I've always enjoyed this Sunday because I've caught a few of the believers coming up to walk as we're walking out. Just a little bit of fun. Let's read together the first 14 verses. I will read the first verse, you the second, and so on, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor.
The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds.
But the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. And did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die.
And he shall
And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul.
And I made thee a master's house and a master's wife into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and it had been little.
Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for so great a salvation, so great a forgiveness of sin.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, such understanding of your grace and mercy, your loving kindness, it blesses our heart. Gives us an opportunity to preach to a lost and dying world the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that he died in our place and paid our debt. And our sins can be forgiven and we can have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. Thank you for your word. Give us an understanding of it. Touch every heart and life that's here today. Give me freedom and ease that only you can give. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amazing thing. David, when he was supposed to be out to war, probably when he was around 50 years old or so, he stayed home. Now, David was a soldier. He was a mighty fighter. He's David the giant killer. I mean, the 10-foot-tall giant, and he was about a 17-year-old youth. And then he led out the armies of Israel, and they would sing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. He was a fighter. He was a soldier. He was known for it. Well, he's around the palace or whatever it was. It might not have been a palace, it might have been a house. Anyway, he's home and he's restless and he's walking at night and he walks out on his roof, probably with a flat roof like a lot of Hispanic houses that we had down in Mexico and whatever. And he sees a woman, a young woman, beautiful woman. And she's not trying to display herself. She's just taking her bath late at night up on the roof, not thinking anybody would be looking on. But he looks on and he lusts after her and he said, I need to know who she is. Well, now he only has probably about 25 to 50 wives right now, because you read in this chapter, he got all of Saul's wives. Said God gave him his house and his wives. But he also had his several wives himself that he already had. So he had enough women, depending on him as a husband, as it was in those days, that he probably couldn't get around to them that often. And they would have been glad to have invited him home. But you know something? Lust is an amazing thing. And one of the basic units of sin is selfishness. Little baby comes out and he's very selfish. Doesn't worry about how much sleep the mama's had. Doesn't worry about what anybody else is doing. Nothing. All it wants is what it wants. And you know the problem of it is, we grow up and we don't get too far away from that. One of the big reasons for a lot of divorces is selfishness. On one part or both parts. And bless your heart, there's an awful lot of selfishness in the world, isn't there? David took this man's wife, young wife. This man was a great soldier. Uriah the Hittite, man, this guy is a soldier. You know how some of the soldiers have a pride in themselves. When David decided to cover his sin, he didn't really want to take Bathsheba first. When he wanted to get something to cover it up, he brings Uriah home so that he can go and be with his wife and not know that she had been with somebody else. But Uriah wouldn't go in. He said, if my brethren are out there, they're fighting this night, I can't go in and enjoy myself with my wife, because it would just be unsoldierly like of himself. The others couldn't do it. So he gets him drunk. The Bible says, woe be to the man that gets another one drunk. You don't give people drink to cause them to do certain things. That's bad news. He gets him drunk. He brings him to his house. He fellowships him. He sends his home. He didn't go home. He laid down with the servants of the law of David right there at his house. And the people knew Uriah didn't go to visit his wife. David's in trouble. He's going to be known. He's got to hide it. And so he gives a message. How much do you trust a soldier? How much he trusted Uriah was, he gave Uriah a message that said to Joab, put Uriah where valiant men go, the ones that die, and withdraw from him that he die. And he puts that message in Uriah's hand to be given to Joab. I believe he was a very faithful soldier. Well, Uriah goes back. I tell you what, generals have things that they live with for years after wars are over. And it's all the people they sent to death. It's all the people that were fine, valiant soldiers. But that hill has to be taken. And you send them again, and you send them again. And when you send them, you know these young men are going to die. David sent him up. Joab takes the message. He obeys. Joab was a tough guy too, his general. And he takes Uriah and he said, lead these men and go up to this city and attack the city. And then he withdraws from him and Uriah is dead. Joab sends a message back home to David and says, we lost a lot of people in this last charge, and we lost Uriah the Hittite. So David now has his message. Everything's covered up. He goes and takes Bathsheba and brings her to his house. Now, I want you to understand. You can read your Bible all you want to, and I want you to read. I want you to try to prove me wrong. God never blames Bathsheba. Now, there's not a word in there blaming Bathsheba. Every time it's David. And if you'll notice the language, his servants went and took her and brought her and whatever. The sin's on David. And when he had plenty of opportunity, there weren't many men that had 25 or 50 wives. And by the way, Solomon never knew the first names of all of his. You understand? You can't have something like that. David's lust for this one young woman brought about all of this, and he did not restrain himself. Everybody's got lust. You get up a good steak, some of you are going to go out for lunch today, and some of you are going to buy a steak, some of you are going to buy soup, I don't know, anything in between. And you enjoy that. And then you satisfy that. Well, sex is a lust too. For men and women. It's amazing. I don't know how different we are. It's amazing to me. A lot of the things that happen in life. But we have our own will. We're selfish enough. I want this good thing for myself. He didn't worry about Uriah. Evidently, he didn't even consider him a faithful soldier to him. But he didn't consider that he was taking the one wife that Uriah had and using her on his own mind, on his own lust, sending him back to die so that he could cover his sin. He thinks his sin is covered. Well, I just read to you Nathan's declaration before David. Nathan says, I've got a message for you, King. Yes, sir. Go ahead. He said, there was a man that had one little ewe lamb, and it was a pet. Man, a household, he loved it. It was like a daughter to him. He just had one. And there was this rich man in the same city, and he had flocks, and he had herds, and he had hundreds. And he had a visitor come. And he didn't want to take one of his lambs and kill it and eat it. He took the one little ewe lamb that was a pet and like a daughter to this other man, slew it, ate it, and it makes David mad. Makes me mad. Makes David mad. And David the king says, this is wicked. Yeah, this man's going to die. Surely he shall die. That would be so heartless. That would think so little of a neighbor's circumstances. And there was some kind of prophet, Nathan was. You walk to an absolute king who has nobody to answer to. People are dying just by his words every day. His army's out there dying. David knows what it is to send troops into battle. And he sticks his finger in his face and said, thou art the man. What a shock. What a shock. Thou art the man. You took Uriah's wife. He didn't have but one wife. A young wife. A lovely wife. One like his own daughter. The love that they had. You sent him out and killed him, and then you took his wife to be thy wife. And you read your Bible, I want you to notice how the Bible treats the description of Bathsheba. She's always the wife of Uriah. Amazing thing. You and your selfishness. You were rich. You got, I don't know, 25, 50 wives. If you wanted more, you could have them in those days. Amazing thing. How selfish can you be? The base root of all sin is selfishness. Read the Ten Commandments, and from the fifth on to the tenth, it's all about selfishness. It's all about, if I obey God, I don't steal your food. If I obey God, I think about what would make you happy. If I obey God, I would care for your rights. If I obeyed God, you'll keep the law if you just realize that other people matter besides you. We've had people in San Antonio, and it's been a long, long time ago, killed because they didn't have a 25-cent quarter in their pocket. And the stupid guy holding them up stabs them to death. Selfishness. David was just plain selfish. Now here's a man that writes hymns. Here's a man that invents music. Here's a man that's a poet. Here's a man that knows God better than probably anybody in his kingdom. A man after God's own heart, what God says. And yet that selfishness crept up into him to where he slew one of the best soldiers he ever had. An honorable man. Took his wife to be his wife. And God said, you're the man. You're the man. And David repents. He says in verse 8, I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom. And if that had been too little, I would have given thee such and such things. Thou hast despised, verse 9, the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, and hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house. Wow. You read the life of David, you'll realize this is true. This happens in David's life and in David's ancestors. It's an interesting story. The sword shall never depart from thine house. And he says, because thou hast despised me. Do you realize what we do when we sin? We despise God. Now we think about the selfishness between us. And the reason why we want just what we want, whatever it is. But the base root of it all is we despise God. We despise the law of God, that we despise the mercy of God. We despise all about God. And we let the whole world know it. We're talking about leading people astray this morning in Sunday school. Happens all the time. You know what that does? That tells other people we don't really love God as much as we think we do. It tells us you better rethink some of the things you do. Why are you doing it? Amen. Why do you want it? How come you can't give it up? How come you can't let other people have their way? Why can't you think about what it would be to be with other people? The law is, if you wouldn't want it done to you, don't do it to anybody else. That's a basic law boiled down. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Take away the selfishness of you've got to have your way, you've got to please yourself. That's what happened to David. Bible calls him man after God's own heart. And God said, Nathan said to him, God hath heard you and you shall not die. And David didn't die. He lived to be 70 years old. Interesting. You have despised me. And so he told him what he was going to do. And he did it. David wrote a psalm, Psalm 51. You might turn there if you want to. I'll be going through some of the verses. David is a poet. David is a theologian, a thinker about God. David worshiped God. The reason why he could go out against Goliath of Gath was because he trusted God. And because he also, he was a 17-year-old, sort of ruddy, red-haired, sort of whatever, light-complected, not a big man. He could go out against a 10-foot-tall giant because he knew how to sling a stone. You know how he learned that? Keeping sheep. He was a shepherd. And as a 15-year-old boy or a 14-year-old boy or whatever it was, he's out there. They got rocks all over that place. He learns to sling them. I have seen college kids. I saw it on the computer one time. They were slinging stones and they were accurate. Amazed me. They were trying out the type of swing. That is a dangerous weapon. When he went down and got the smooth stones, you remember Goliath had four brothers. He got all five stones. He just needed one. But remember, Goliath had four brothers. That's the reason why he got five stones. David knew how to kill a bear or a lion. David knew how to drive over a coyote. He could do it without even getting close to him because he could reach out and hit somebody. Now, slingshot, I can handle one of those. I never could get something to work like that. In fact, I never was a very good pitcher in baseball, either way, hardball or softball. But I tell you what I could do with a slingshot. I could take a marble and hit a dog. I used to walk in the nights, and a lot of people let their dogs loose. And some of those dogs are mean dogs. And you know what I learned to carry? I put a slingshot in my back pocket and marbles. Marbles are the perfect thing because they're perfectly round. And I tell you what, I'll set up and pop that dog. They start growling at me as I'm walking along, you know. It's amazing when you hear that marble going on the car. Bang, 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 bang. Those dogs scatter. They know what it is. Well, David was an expert at throwing rocks with that sling. And how much more volume or power comes out of this swinging that thing around and then turning it loose at the right time. He killed Goliath. He killed a lot of animals. He protected the sheep. You got a soldier here. He says in here, Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. You know what? That's a pretty good prayer for you to pray. Amen. God is rich in mercy. God is full of loving kindness. And it's pretty good to point at the scripture and say, God, I want that. I want that. Have mercy on me. I don't walk up to God and say, God, I want justice. Do you? You better watch out when you're asking for justice from somebody else too. Because he might give them justice and you justice too. He said, have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly, cleanse me from my sin. And then I want you to look at verse 3 and 4, Psalm 51. I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. David was trying to hide it. God didn't let him hide it. God brought it out. It probably was all across the gossip of the whole kingdom before Nathan even went up there. But after Nathan, certainly, certainly. Wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me from my sin. Now, verse 3. I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Have you ever thought like that? Against thee, thee only, have I sinned. What's David saying? Yes, I sinned against Bathsheba. Yes, I sinned against Uriah. But the main sin was I sinned against you. David knew better. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man that had relationship with God. He's written tremendous psalms. He's written, Spurgeon always called the book of Psalms the book of David, because most of them are written by David. And they're beautiful. They're just absolutely an understanding of the loving kindness and the mercy of God and the justice of God. Wow! And yet he could come and think they were disconnected. He could go worship God in the temple and be filled with praise and joy. But he didn't think about it when he was looking at Bathsheba, and he didn't think about it when he was ordering Uriah to be killed. He didn't put the two together. We sometimes don't do that ourselves.
Amen.
We don't think about what we're doing to God.
Amen.
I'm a child of God. My children represent me. Your children represent you. Can you take your kids somewhere where they won't crawl all over everything and break stuff and mess things up? I'll tell you what, some people have kids that have no discipline. And it's probably because they as parents have no discipline themselves.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
And you know what you have to do to have discipline in yourself? You got to say no to yourself and stop doing some things.
Amen.
David is reflecting God. Now the enemies of God can blaspheme. I was watching an old TV show of Johnny Carson and the Tonight Show. I like to watch it every once in a while because I see somebody like that I know about when they were young. I saw the first time Jay Leno ever went on television. Boy, he had a big suit on and whatever, and a young guy, you know, that big chin sticking out there. We represent God every day of our lives. Do you know, parents, if you're a Christian parent and you try to bring your children up in the church, they're going to watch you like a hawk. It's not so much what you say, but what you do. And if they see you doing things that are a shame, it hurts them. It makes them not believe you. And forgot the story I was going to tell about Johnny Carson. But anyway, we represent God to the whole world. I know what it was. You remember when one of the big evangelists, the healers, God's going to kill me if I don't raise $1 million for my whatever. They made so much fun of that. Back in the time when one of the evangelists that was on big on television, he got caught with a whore. Every place we'd go to visit, they said, we got to cover the women up, you know, we got to hold them back or whatever. Every preacher was stained. Everybody. And if you were living at that time and you were knocking on doors and passing out tracts, you caught some of it. God gets blamed for the way you walk. God gets blamed with the words that come out of your mouth. God gets blamed when you ignore everything he says, and yet you claim yourself to be such a happy Christian, such a glorious Christian.
Amen.
He said, against thee have I sinned. I saw some people in commentaries and whatever, and they think, well, they give a little different answer for that than what I give. I think the world does blame God for the way we look. He does, but the world does blame God and Christianity, and they call it fake, and they think there's nothing to it. There's something to it. I got my soul saved and my sins forgiven, and I'm on the road to glory, and I'm not afraid to die because of the promises that I have in this book. If I'm not dressed in the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, I don't stand a chance. If I've got to keep the law, and even now go back and keep the law, I won't make it. You won't either. It's the mercy of God and the loving kindness of God and the righteousness of God that He's applied to my account. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
He says in verse 10, He hath created me a clean heart, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit indwells us as New Testament Christians the day we get saved. When we are saved, the Spirit comes into us never to leave us. But in the Old Testament, you will find the Spirit came and left, came and left. And David is saying here, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and then restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And I'll tell you what, he says, then will I teach sinners thy ways. Who's the best teacher for a sinner? A converted sinner that's changed his life. You need to have experienced some of this stuff to really give it power. You need to know what it is to be forgiven before you can all reach out to the rest of the world and say, you can be forgiven. Then will I teach. Then in verse 17 he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Do you see what he sees? He sees what a lot of religious people don't see today. It's your inner spirit, your relationship to God. And it's very personal. God is everywhere. You don't have to be in a church to pray. Anywhere you are, God is with you. You don't hide anything from God. I don't care if it's dark. God is everywhere, and He sees as well in the night. Sees better than your dog. Hebrews 13:15 says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Your lips ever have praise come out of them? You ought to have praise every day.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You ought to have thanksgiving every day. Every time you pray and ask God for something, you ought to be thanking God for what He's already given you. It's an amazing thing, the relationship we have with God, and God leaves us free. And Stephen, as you said, sometimes with that freedom, we make poor choices. And we hurt people.
Amen.
It's a shame, but it happens. It says the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Turn to James 4:8 in your Bible. James 4:8. Notice what it says. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Do you believe the Bible? I do. What do I tell you that you can do? Seek God. Draw nigh to God. Do whatever you have to do. Pray in your bed. Pray in your car. Pray when you're walking. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask God for mercy. Ask God for His loving kindness. Draw nigh to God any way you possibly can. And what did it say he'll do? He will draw nigh to you. Wow. That's a promise. That's an absolute law of God Almighty in His Word. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. When I got convicted of my sin, I drew nigh to God. I was in my trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico. I'd just come from church on a Sunday. And the preacher had basically whipped me all over the room. And I went home. And I'm singing hymns in the bed. And Verlene, she loves to go to sleep early. She didn't like, she said, if you're going to sing all night, Lyndall, go in the other room. Okay. I couldn't sleep. I went in the front bedroom and that bouncer that we have at the door was a little bitty thing about like this. And I began to think of how good a man my daddy was and what a sorry thing I was. And what would my son turn out to be? And it brought conviction to my heart. And I started praying for forgiveness. I drew near to God as best I knew how. And that night, God came into my life. I had my friends and they said, you got a bad dose of religion, Lyndall. It'll take a couple of weeks, but it'll wear off. That was over 62 years ago. I've been preaching ever since. You know what I tell you today? Draw nigh to God. And knowing His mercy and His loving kindness and His righteousness and how God loves a forgiven sinner, He'll draw nigh to you. He'll draw nigh to you. Well, that touched my heart. Let's turn to hymn number 243, Room at the Cross. Let's stand. If you're not saved, let me tell you, you can be saved today. All you have to do is draw nigh to God. Get out of that seat, come down here, get on your knees and start praying. Ask God for forgiveness of sin. He'll draw nigh to you if you'll draw nigh to Him. There's room. There's still room at the cross. What Jesus did is so big, there's nothing can quench it. He offers salvation. He offers forgiveness. Draw nigh to God.